keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is all in the house, and mighty glad to have you all listening this afternoon and supporting What's the 411. John Sewell is the next candidate up in the series of interviews I've done with the candidates, and we have just one more week of this next week. There are two left after these two today, and then that is it. For the candidate interviews, we've done two per week for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and then we had the break for the holiday, etc. And we are back, and early voting has started at the Howard School Building. So, John, we're happy to have you with us today. And I see that you didn't have trouble finding Fisk University like some folks do.
No, I was actually here a year ago for a vigil at the old chapel, right in, I don't know if you call it the quad or the quadrangle.
Okay.
There was a vigil for a man that was on death row that was executed, and I want to say it was about a year ago.
Yeah.
So I was here and then brought my daughter outside. We ran around the main building that we enjoyed the big grassy area out there.
Yes.
So I am familiar with Fisk, and I actually have a friend of mine that lives nearby, old guy named Carl Meyer that runs this place called Nashville Greenlands, and he's kind of he's one of those dudes, has that Amish look, the coveralls, came out of the Catholic worker movement.
Yeah.
He does the a lot of self-sufficiency measures, grows his own food, and he lives nearby, and I recently reconnected with him because he was an old friend from my high school days about 20 years ago. And he's nearby, so I was like, oh, it's on my route to Carl's.
Right. Because I know some people have never ventured, you know, past Charlotte.
That's unfortunate.
And they're Nashvillians.
Yeah.
That's really crazy,
it's sad,
but it's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for being here today. And now you mentioned to me during the break that you ran in the last mayoral.
I did. That was kind of a short-run deal there because I feel like we kind of went through some trauma as a city during that time because there was so much being shook up, the controversies that were being spun up, denials, resignations, ceremonial coronations. We were doing it all, and then we had the transit referendum, and then right after that, I want to say it was like 3 weeks, and it was the mayoral race. And then it was like, depending on where you live in town, then you had a district race. We had a vice mayoral race that went to a runoff. It was like, so I think, I want to say I told you it was, I think we did about 200 elections last year. I'm just doing the math off the top of my head.
Yeah. Well, it felt like that.
It did.
And so I participated in all of them, okay? I did. I went and voted in each and every one of them.
Good night. Yeah. It was kind of exhausting. I think
it
fatigued people. And I think what's happening this time is now we're ready to do it for real this time. But what we're also finding out, at least from my perspective, is people are now kind of suffering from what I call fatigue, forum fatigue, where they're just getting worn out that you have all these forums. You don't know what's what. They end up asking the same questions a lot of times.
They do.
And it's the same top four candidates that I don't really think are representative of the entire diversity of experience that we have in this town. And so that's kind of where I come in. I'm not beholden to anyone. I don't have a background. I'm not from a political dynasty.
Where are you from?
I'm from Nashville.
Where'd you go to
school? I went to Aiken Elementary for high school, and don't hold this against me, I went to Montgomery Bell Academy. I did drop out after the junior year because, I don't know, wasn't a good fit, we'll put it that way.
Understood.
So I ended up dropping out there, and I got my GED at Cone Adult on Charlotte.
Okay.
And then went to MTSU for a few years. This is weird. I started going to MTSU because it was supposed to be a dual enrollment program during my senior year, but I just dropped out of high school. And then so I was at MTSU for a year and a half, and I got a call, and they're like, hey, whenever got your diploma? And I was like, about that. So I'm already going here. Right. What's the deal there? And they're like, well, you got to have something. So I was like, okay. So then contacted Kona Adult, set it up. I took the test in December. I think I got my certificate in the mail the last day of late registration. So then I'm driving down to MTSU, just sign me up for biology, you know, trying to get my gen ed. So, and then I moved to Memphis, went to University of Memphis, spent way too long there.
You seem like you're young.
I'm 38.
Okay.
I mean, but I'm still in my prime. So you let people know I'm still physically in my prime. I always have been. I never won't be in my prime. I'm just joking.
Well, I hope that mentally you were there. That's what's okay. up. You know, because that's crucial to this job, yes. you know. Those yes. things must connect together. But now, what day was it that you woke up? Because this is your second time running, right?
It is, yes.
What day did you wake up and say, I want to be the mayor of Nashville?
Well, I was very disheartened, and maybe that was because part of I feel like we were going through trauma as a city,
yeah.
and I know a lot of people kind of felt betrayed by the leadership,
uh-huh.
lack of trust in what's going on downtown. You hear one story, then you hear another.
Sure.
So I ran on more of a comedic campaign last year, but I still had an interesting platform that yeah. And that's what I tell people. I answered all questionnaires. I attended every forum where they
Did
would
you?
Have me, because I feel like if I'm putting myself out there, if you run for office, you are making yourself vulnerable.
Yes.
But also, so you find yourself having to defend yourself constantly from attacks. But also, part of the job in the running a campaign is engagement. If people disagree with you, that's okay. But to me, it's. You present your argument, I present mine,
uh-huh.
and let's have a dialogue, and let's have this conversation, because at least for me, I feel like in Nashville, the conversation is so limited right now. I'm bored to tears with all the stuff about scooters. Yes, scooters are a nuisance, but at some point in time, we have to move on to bigger problems, have bigger visions than boo on scooters, boo on honky-tonks. It's like, sure, we need to rein in some of these problems, but... Also, there are bigger problems and there are bigger solutions and there's bigger visions out there.
Well, let's talk about transportation, a big
okay.
one.
Yeah.
What's the John Sewell plan?
For me, I think first and foremost, I'm not talking about scooters. I know I just said I'm bored of tears with it, so I'll get it out of the way first and foremost. I thought it was super reactionary for David Brierley just to suddenly ban them one day. Mm-hmm. And then you read the logic of why he's banning them. I was like, this sounds like a reason to ban cars. Your logic and just applying it to scooters. So what I've suggested at a few forums, and I know the top four candidates like to steal each other's material, and that's okay. Mm. I really hope they steal some of mine and put it into play, because I would love to see some of this happen. For scooters, let's put another dollar, put another $2 on each ride. Use that money to build a bike lane network downtown that you put scooters in. So then we also have bike lanes for people that live here. Then we expand the bike lane network outside of downtown. Then I would love us cutting the bus services is a real downer, and I can't believe we're doing that.
That's crazy.
It's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
We went last year from having whatever $20, $30 billion plan to this year. It's like we can't even come up with $84 million.
So you're add a dollar on a scooter thing. That would only be during warm seasons, because you're not riding a scooter in ice and snow.
Presumably not, but who knows what the drunken tourists downtown are going to do.
Well, God, I hope not. I mean, it's enough to have to watch out for them in the party buses, okay, in the drunk wagons.
Hey, I didn't even think about that. We need to put $1 a head on these weird tractors driving around.
Absolutely. Now, I'm in favor of that.
Okay, all right. So I got your endorsement on that deal.
The bachelorette parties and they're dancing, and, I mean, it's just... Lord.
Dollar ahead going forward. That's what I'm running.
Well, how much do you expect that to raise? I mean,
I have no idea.
This city needs.
We need a lot more money, certainly.
Oh, my gosh.
And I think also what we need to do is we're kind of getting smart about companies moving here. We have an awesome city that corporations want to be in.
Yeah.
How about having them pay their fair share?
Yeah.
We could have impact fees on their development that also help fund these transportation networks, partner with private corporations, maybe if they're not just buying bus passes for their employees, to help subsidize bus passes for the impact that they're going to cause with all the new development downtown. Adequate development taxes, I think, will help offset, and we could put money back into our network. Because at least for me, I would love to dream big, and people say, oh, that's kind of utopian, that's kind of idealistic. Well, that's what the transit plan last year was. It was misguided, but it was an attempt to think big, think about Nashville as an international city. So we've already entertained that thought exercise of going big. For me, I say, what if we go big and we say free public transport for everyone? Let's find a way to make, not just raise $85 million for the buses, raise $100 million, expand the network, improve the network. Because we know sometimes they try to reroute it, and I think they sincerely try to have the best routes they can, but you see what's going on now. They're cutting routes, and people are like, hey, maybe this would have been, maybe there's other routes you could have taken that would have been improved. So I think part of also my exercise, being an outsider, non-traditional, unconventional candidate, is to push more democratic decision-making processes all through Metro, not even just in the mayor's office, but have neighborhoods have input on a lot of these decision-makings, because we'll have better outcomes in the end.
Well, I think that they have. It's up to the citizens to show up. I mean,
that's
they have
true, too.
And I have, you know, done my fair share of announcing these events, and a gazillion of them in my career, of community events and da-da-da's and da-da-da's. But if the people don't show up, that's where in lies the problem.
Yeah,
and that is the same situation. Like, for example, when we had the transit piece, the neighborhoods that weren't included didn't want it.
Right.
They
right.
felt like it wasn't fair for them to pay for something they can't utilize. So you would have, as the head of Nashville, you'd have to spread it all the way across Davidson County.
Right. Yeah. And I think for me, one fun exercise that I think would be very interesting, at least to try on a pilot basis, is what they call participatory budgeting. And that's where neighborhoods can get together. You give them discretionary funds. You say, hey, we're going to give this neighborhood, you get $1 million this year.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe what you have, the neighborhood association, you would need some sort of mechanism to determine how to distribute that funds. But these type of projects exist elsewhere in the world. And a lot of them, a lot of these exercises started in the favelas in Brazil. And it brought people together because it said, hey, this isn't just a thought exercise. There's cash here. We got some cold, hard cash. How are we going to spend it as a neighborhood? Then I think we could start to get more people involved. For me, I think also the exercise is to demonstrate that more people can be involved, because I know this is radio and I dressed as such for today, but you see I'm in shorts and a T-shirt. I don't look like the other candidates, and if anyone wanted to look up some of the pictures in the Tennessean or some of the other forums, they'll see that I don't wear a suit. I do own suits for the special occasions. But I think it's part of the process is showing people that they can get involved, and people of my age, people younger, if they see someone they could relate to, then maybe they'll start showing up to things. Because otherwise, I feel like so many people feel marginalized. They feel like they're not part of the process, and so they don't have any ownership in the outcome of it, so they don't show up. And if there's a way to kind of change that attitude, I think that's the conversation Nashville needs to be having. How do we get more people to the table? Because like you said, sometimes the table's open and people don't show up.
They won't.
But then at least in my situation here running for office, I'm excluded quite often because I'm not part of the top four. I didn't raise one forum. The criteria was you had to have raised $100,000 to participate in this forum, and I was like, "Good night."
How are you funded? You self-funded?
Zero. I'm raising $0. So part of my thing is that I'm also trying to demonstrate to people that you can get out there, and if you engage, that you can do a whole lot with very little.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because for me, that's also the politics of the future. I would love to see us get the corrupting influence of money out of politics.
Well,
and
good luck on that.
I know. That material does not land well with some of my other co-applicants for this position.
I am certain. Because it's so entrenched in politics itself.
Without a doubt.
But in reality, you can't get anything done. You can't push out a larger message.
No, and I think part of... For me, my practice in direct democracy here is that I could push the envelope on what's acceptable political discussion in this town, because I'm not beholden to some car dealer that could cut me a check for $100,000.
Well, this one of the things, the reason why I wanted, I like to have all of them on is because, you know, people have feel they're disheartened and feel disenfranchised from not, you know, I just didn't like the cut to the top thing. I don't like that.
What's up with that?
Well, and see, that to me tells me that nobody counts, and that doesn't, I don't like that. I mean, I think that people, you know, some, whatever the criteria is, they do it for whatever the purpose it is. But to just declare those four as the four, and, you know, I'm like, if, you know, obviously you will have something to bring to the table, because what I think is you're going to keep running for something until you finally win.
That
you're going to win something. It might be a council seat or whatever.
And I am getting, that's the fun thing, is getting out there. And I feel like I'm outside the box, but I'm pushing ideas that aren't out of bounds. Yeah. And people, it's landing with people because they're saying, why aren't other people talking about that? There are solutions out there that may not be politically convenient for the top four to say. And so what I bring to the table is trying to expand the field of conversation and who could say it. And that was what's really troubling about that cut to the top four, is I started to email these different these other media outlets and just ask them to share with me their criteria. Because it's almost every time it's they know they want the top four, but they try to figure out different ways to get there. The Tennessean said, must raise 100K or currently be in office. And I was like, you got to be in office to run for office? You already have. I was like, that's the most bizarre thing.
Well,
talk about your insider's club.
Well, a lot of the stuff keeps regular folks from participating in the process.
And
that's why I step out of my box, because we have 22, 24 people running for president on the Democratic side.
Yeah.
I want to know what they're saying.
There's so many
y'all
of them.
Y'all can't just pick one. No, that's not
right. Right.
I want to hear what these people have to say. Because, you know, Barack Obama started out being a nobody.
Right.
Remember, y'all?
Right.
He started out being a nobody. Nobody. I don't know how to say his name. So, I mean, to me, if we believe in our process, we need to do what we do. But
no doubt.
Other media outlets do their thing the way they do it. But this is how.
And thank you for
okay.
that. And that's what I found. It's interesting that the media outlets that are the most receptive and the most inclusive come from communities that have historically been affected by criteria.
Disenfranchised.
Exactly. Been marginalized.
Yeah.
And so there's people have still remember this history.
Sure.
And it's interesting. So you go talk to, you know, the Tennessean, the scene, and it's like they just have this bizarre criteria, and they won't. Sometimes they don't even tell you what the criteria is. You're just excluded. They're not going to cover you at all. And I find it very disheartening that then people try to justify criteria that are definitely meant to exclude.
Right. Well, I'm not. That's not, you know.
So thank you for because.
Well, and every time the candidates tell me that, I appreciate hearing it, because, you know, for me, if it was. It's just not about that. I mean, that if we keep telling everybody to run for office and do all this, and then you shut the doors, I mean, how stupid
right,
is that?
Right.
You know, so don't shut the doors. I mean,
like
you
everyone
know,
can participate, except, wait, no, not you, and not you,
you don't
and
have
not
enough
you.
Money, you know,
right.
you don't wear a suit. I mean, it's just like, what? the thing that people complain about is the thing that they're doing. I mean, you
yes.
know, that's nuts. Now, let's say, for example, that our city has these issues that people feeling disenfranchised the way they do, and things being unbalanced, neighborhoods feeling unbalanced. What neighborhood do you represent? Are you from?
I now live in South Nashville.
Uh-huh.
I am actually, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I live right next to Fort Negley. I'm the closest resident there. My campaign manager, Jacob, he's here. He works in the burger joint across the street from me.
Yeah.
And that's my hood. I still ride my BMX around there. I still bike around there.
So you
there.
Love South Nashville.
I love it down there.
So and did you use Fort Negley to say to vote for me, black folk? Is that what you did?
No, I'm
that
saying.
That wasn't you.
there's a few other people. Everyone now saved Fort Negley.
Right.
Yeah,
I was like, well, where
I
were y'all? When
exactly.
I need to interview up in here. You know, they weren't here. Okay. Yeah,
right, right. Where were they?
Well, Cooper was the only one who came. And the rest of them, I don't know why they claiming, because they're, you know, and I'm going to have to
it's bizarre.
Talk to them about that. Where were y'all?
So I was there. I was kind of with the artists and activists. Jacob was there. And so we were doing our own brand of subversion. I was, they kind of happened quickly and passed.
Uh-huh.
But I made these posters that said, Metro Parks, where condos meet culture. And I said, Metro Parks Realty, call them to get a condo. And I put it all around Fort Negley. They disappeared, so I need to get with the mayor and see if his parks department can give me my posters back.
So you're a handful, I can tell. Now, to find out your thoughts on how you feel, are you going to be out and about speaking or something like that?
Certainly. I'm willing to meet people. I'm doing a thing. I'm doing 92Q on Sunday, then in a couple weeks doing WVOL. I just got invited to another forum that was for the entertainment industry, and I have an acting background, so I was like, that's home field advantage right there. Okay. Very excited about that.
Good.
So I'm getting out there, and I'll show up to any forum that will have me.
Good.
And I've been excluded from some, but that's not gonna stop me.
45 seconds to tell the audience why they should vote for you.
I am running I'm an outsider, and I'm running an interesting campaign to try to shake things up in this town. For me, that includes decriminalization of drug use. That also includes decriminalization of prostitution. I would love to see us replace broken window policing with civil enforcement options. I think we have what we could talk about in this town is so much bigger than what the other candidates are talking about, so I want to hear all the wild, creative ideas, because we could build a brand new Nashville together that includes everyone.
How you reach your campaign?
My website is www.thechitshow.
Definitely.
The Chit Show.
Okay. CHIT Show.
That's right.
Well, we'll talk about that off of this show. Because this show is what's up right now. Anyway, we're going to take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Tune in on Thursdays to hear WFSK's Artist of the Week. You can win some brand new music and stay up on the latest smooth and contemporary jazz releases. This week's Artist of the Week is bassist Julian Vaughn. His new release is entitled Supreme. Music lovers, don't miss the WFSK feature Artist of the Week during the Noon Hour on Thursdays to hear some prime cuts, an interview with the Artist of the Week, and win some brand new music right here on Jazzy 80. We're Nashville's Jazz Station. Support for WFSK comes from AEG Presents. Grammy Award-winning Herbie Hancock is coming to Nashville August 11th at Ryman Auditorium. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Herbie Hancock, August 11th at the Ryman. Sponsored by Nissan, proud partner of Ryman Auditorium. Produced by AEG Presents.
This weekend on Blue Time in the City, Carol Fran, once the queen of New Orleans, tells us how she once hit the jackpot. Well, sort of, with the king.
Shaking his head with his hair at the time.
And one of the strangest blues emails we've ever received. Join me, Rogene Bailey, the happiest man in America, for Blue Time in the City, this weekend, right here. Catch Blue Time in the City Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
AP News Service at WFSK is brought to you by Indeed. There's more job posting information at Indeed.com/hire.
This weekend on Blues Time in the City, Carol Fran, once the queen of New Orleans, tells us how she once hit the jackpot. Well, sort of, with the king.
Shaking his head with his hair at the time.
And one of the strangest blues emails we've ever received. Join me, Rogene Bailey, the happiest man in America, for Blues Time in the City this weekend right here. Catch Blues Time in the City Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University and What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. And we are down to the last of the interviews for the mayoral candidates. You know, early voting started last Friday, and the interview started a couple weeks before that, and I'm taking them two at a time. There are 10, and this is Nolan Starnes. Nolan, how are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Well, of course. I am happy to have you with us today to talk about why you would like to be the next mayor of Nashville. And I wanted to, just before you, it was John Sewell. He just had his time up to the microphone to talk about his, what he would do for mayor. And I know all of you all are getting the same questions over and over and over and over. And
yes,
I'm like, oh Lord, okay. So I wanted to ask you a different set of things. I'll include some of it, but I just want to know a different thought that somebody has on something. Now, are you a native of Nashville?
Yes, ma'am. I am born and raised. I grew up in Parkwood community. And so my father's side of the family is from Kings Lane, so I grew up in that area as well. I went to Whites Creek High School. However, I graduated from Cone Adult High School. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And being so you have been educated and born and raised here, what's your opinion of the education system in Nashville?
Well, I think everybody knows that it's a failing school system, okay? And so it wasn't that bad during my upbringing, you know. I'm not saying it was perfect, but things were a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are so many things that, Metro Public Schools had pulled out of the curriculum, you know, and just are not teaching anymore. So, you know, so these children these days, they're not necessarily even getting taught.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got taught growing up. So, you know, when education comes up, public education comes up,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's been a lot of relations towards money, you know, towards the budget, and the schools need more funding and things of that nature. I understand that the teachers deserve a raise. You know, we could probably spend more money on getting updated technology, updated books that the children can take home and, you know, and kind of, on during the school year. But I think a lot of our issues with the public school system is because of what we're not doing and what we took out.
Well, how would a Mayor Starnes pay for this if we already in this thriving community, in this, has become cosmopolitan area, the home of so many things, health and music and et cetera, et cetera. And we can't even come up with 3%
for the teachers or the law enforcement or whomever. So, I mean, we all we know that there's problems everywhere, all over the place. What would you do as to straighten out some of these situations we're in?
Well, I think everybody knows that the money is there, the funding is there. So I think it's just more of an issue of, sitting down, seeing where the money is being allocated and everything. I don't know if, as mayor, what I would do is, first, I'm not in office currently. Mm-hmm. So, I would have to sit down first and kind of sort things out, see what's going on. I can't just get in office and start dumping money into places that I don't even know, where the problem lies, if that makes sense. So, but the teachers definitely deserve a raise. But at the same time, I'm more interested in the embedment of our students and of our youth. So, teachers deserve a raise, but there still need to be a rise in our numbers as far as graduation, attendance, of our students thriving. That's what I want to see. And so we can give the teachers a raise, but at the same time there needs to be a certain measure, where we can kind of put these teachers on a scale and kind of make sure that these students and that the numbers of these failing schools are rising. That makes sense.
Would you be in favor of a property tax increase in Davidson County to fund that?
Well, I'm never, and I want to be clear about this, I'm never in favor of a property increase. To my understanding, I own a home in Nashville, and so, the property taxes they've already rose. We can't keep running towards property tax, every time we need to fill in some gaps. Nashville is thriving. We have tourists here, like every week. It's turned up here. You see what I'm saying? So I know sales tax and revenue is doing great. It's just a matter of finding the money. Property tax would need to be a last resort. I'll say that. But there are too many ways. There are too many avenues. Too many streams of income that this city is getting right now.
We're doing the best that we've ever done here.
Well,
and that rightly so, it's more expensive now than it's ever been here as well. But how would you tap into that? What kind of relationships?
All this development is going on, as I understand it. Developers are getting a lot of cuts, a lot of tax cuts, a lot of deals being made that hasn't been in the best interest of the community, of the Nashville community. These developers that's coming in, developing these corporations that's coming in, they have to do more. To add to the city's quality, not just trying to make it, look like, this 21st century, structure. The people of the city is the structure. Our youth is the structure. Our infrastructure is the structure. So, they need to play a bigger part in developing those things.
And what would that require? Would that require as far as a mayor is concerned, what would that mean for a Mayor Starnes?
Just instead of us giving them all the incentives, it should be a two-way street. It's that simple. A lot of these things aren't hard. And some of these things it's just a matter of cutting deals. And it just needs to be a balance. The deals need to be a balance. It needs to be a two-way street. We can get an incentive, but at the same time, man, you have to give the city incentives. Make sure if there's a partnership with the public school board, that need to be established. We need to do that as well. Public parking should not be a privately owned situation. Those monies, those funds can go towards the city, and it can go towards you know, filling some of these gaps as
now,
well.
Now, let me ask this question, because a lot of times these the developers and the big money people that own the corporations, et cetera, they say, well, if I can't get what I want from you, I'll just move to Charlotte, North Carolina, or I'll just move my whatever to somewhere else because you all won't negotiate with me. And do you think at the same time as mayor, you would have to have, you know, I know what you say now, people say this stuff now, but when they at the table with them and the offer is there, is this what you would say? Nope, go ahead and go to Charlotte or go to Houston. We're not going to settle for that.
In business, okay, like I say, it's not about playing hardball, and it's not about, you know, standing, you know, firm on something and not budging. That's not what it's about. Like I say, it need to be a balance. You know, it need to be a balance where both parties, you know, are satisfied. You know, no one needs to have, you know, more leverage than the other. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just how it is with business. So, you know, I wouldn't push them away. We need jobs. You know, our people need jobs.
Right.
You know, Nashville City needs jobs as well. But the challenge about that is, you know, even when these corporations move in, okay, and they hire X amount of people, okay, a lot of times, you know, the pay is still well below, you know, what it costs to live comfortably in Nashville now. You know, it's $80,000 per household. You know, that's what it takes to live comfortable in Nashville now. You know, that's you know, for the average person or for the common people, and that's who I represent, the common man. You know, common families. You know, that's still going to be pretty expensive for them. That's all I'm saying. So, you know, it's still going to be a catch-22 even when these companies come in, Amazon, you know, you name it. You know, it's still going to be hard to meet those $80,000 per household a year.
What are you talking about, the annual salaries?
Yes, ma'am. You know, as I understand it, that's the you know, that's the quota. That's what it would take. That's what the average household needs to bring in, you know, in order to live comfortable in Nashville these days,
yeah.
2019.
And that is so far from reality for so many people. It, you know, the playing field
is
definitely not level here. So when you are seeing the neighborhoods and the gentrification and seeing the disparities in the neighborhoods, you know, some have better services and et cetera, how would you fund the change, and what kind of change would you bring to the areas? You were talking about the area where you live originally.
Yes, ma'am. So I know, so like I say, Parkwood community and even the Bordeaux community. Okay, those are the two districts and communities that I was raised in, that I grew up in. And so, you know, I know there needs to be a level of economic development for those communities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while we're projecting a new North Nashville community, you know, Bordeaux deserves a brand new business district. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's operated and ran by their community.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so, you know, with the affordable housing crisis, it's evident. It continues to be evident that, you know, the plan is to push out the common people who are from Nashville, born and raised, and that's not right. So many people have already moved out. You know, went to the outskirts, Clarksville or Murfreesboro or even Kentucky, just moved out of the state.
Mm-hmm.
And that's ridiculous, you know, but at the same time, you know, self-sustainability, you know, people have to start opening their minds to self-sustaining themselves. And what I mean by that is that's a part of my platform. So, you know, I need this university and the Citizen of Nashville to help me, you know, make Nashville the innovative, self-sustainable, and civil city, you know. And what I mean by self-sustainable, I mean for the past 11 years, I've been out here in Nashville mentoring the youth, teaching them STEM initiatives, 21st century STEM initiatives that it's going to take to get to establish life and sustain life in the 21st century. You know, you have to be open to growing your own food, creating your own energy, or even educating your own children. You know, and I know a lot of people question, like, well, how can I do that and I work and things of that nature? Well, you know, if a community come together or if a neighborhood come together and they decide that they want to establish their own source of education, you know, where they design their own curriculum and things of that nature, you know, the city needs to have an initiative to support that and to back that, you know, if that neighborhood can match, you know, certain funding. And those are the kind of initiatives that that I'm going to establish when I get an office.
Well, and saying that, how would you fund it?
Well, like I say, we will need to consolidate certain schools. There's so many selling schools, you know, priority schools. There, I forget the number. I would have to, you know, look on my the information I have at home in my desk. But there are a handful of priority schools in Middle Tennessee, and I've never seen it like this before. And a lot of those schools are, you know, within the inner city. You know, there are the, you know, the Graymar Elementaries, you know, the Maplewoods, you know, the Weiss Creek, you know. And they're not bad schools, but like I say, they're just, you know, they're failing in what can I say, in attendance. Mm-hmm. They're failing in just everything across the board that you can think of. The school is failing in. So we will have to consolidate those schools, and what schools are, you know, they have low attendance, the schools that are just, you know, that we can go ahead and eliminate and get rid of, let's get rid of them. Let's consolidate and only keep certain schools, you know what I'm saying, that they can keep, that we can kind of bounce back from. But there's no point in spreading our budget so thin, you know, trying to save every school that doesn't even have the, you know, I guess the population to even survive, and the student achievement to even survive. So we need to consolidate those for one. And once we consolidate those, you know, that will open up some funding, you know, for different neighborhoods or communities too, if they want to, you know, to set up and structure their own source of education right in their own neighborhood.
So you're in favor of neighborhood schools?
I am. Charter schools, you know, they have a right, you know, but charter schools are more so, they're more so businesses. They're more so set up like corporations, you know. And so I applied for a charter school myself. When charter schools first started coming into Nashville, you know, I was in that wave, and I started to apply for a charter school. The bump in the road where I came into was that I didn't have the funding to match, you know, what the state was providing, you know, and that was the bump in the road that I came upon. But I had to sit back and I had to watch schools like Rocket Ship came in that same summer. You know, got a little small building, you know, right in the Parkwood community, right on Bridge Church Pike. And, you know, that would be their office, and everything just kind of developed from there. They didn't have any issues, and it was mainly because they had schools, they already had established schools in other states. But what I'm saying is, for me to be from Parkwood, and for me to be from Nashville, Tennessee, and to have an awesome idea and an awesome vision for a STEM school, you know, for me to come across those bumps in the road the way I did, and to sit back and watch, you know, a corporate school from another state come in and just flourish and get grounded with no issues and no problems, you know, I just feel like it shouldn't be that way. You know, the people of the community, the people of the neighborhood, you know, they need to have that same right. And, you know, and like I say, it doesn't always, it shouldn't always take, you know, a huge corporate, you know, network to get it done. You know, there are people who are working with a lot less money,
Nolan, and a lot
less resources that are doing a whole lot better as far as public schools go.
It shouldn't, but you know reality, you know what reality is. And unfortunately, that's the way it is. Now, how would you, what would you like to see in the future of a transit plan for Nashville when the ball has been kicked down the road for so very long? What would the future transit plan look like from you, and how would you fund it?
Well, a real transit plan is take the Music City Star. Let's take that. You know, I think that's a transit, like a railroad type of transit that goes from downtown Nashville to Lebanon. You know, down 40 East is where that goes. if we could take a structure like that and stem lines, you know, from every direction, you know, one going towards Lebanon, the other going towards, you know, Murfreesboro, the other going towards Dixon, you know, another way going towards Clarksville and, you know, Hendersonville and so on and so forth. I know we will have to get the other counties involved. You know what I'm saying? But you know, a lot of their citizens or people that live in the outskirts of Nashville. I mean, you know, they are employed by Metro.
How much would that cost, Nolan, to get? Because with the tracks, the way the Music City Star runs now, those same tracks are used for the passenger trains during certain times of the day, and then other times of the day, they're used for moving, you know, grain or whatever it is they're moving. So, are you saying use the same railroad tracks and devise a system that is the same type of, you know, they use the cargo during a certain time and use the passenger?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that would only help some to a certain degree, because that would mean, you know, the train doesn't run during, you know, the middays. They run during the
Nah, the train is going to run absolutely whenever it has to run, you know. It can work in a few different ways, you know, if you have to build and add to that,
yeah.
You know, build more tracks or whatever, yes. Then if that's necessary, then we'll just have to do that. But, I mean, we can't stop commerce. You know, we can't stop everyday commerce from coming in out of the city. That's not part of the plan. The plan is to slow up on traffic and, you know, give these people who work on who live on the outskirts of the city, mm-hmm. you know, a more faster and reliable way mm-hmm. of getting back home.
Okay.
That's it. And I wanna say this. So, you know, you made a comment saying, you know, my vision for education uh-huh. and things of that nature is not, you know, that things just don't work that way, and that's just not reality. Well, you know, I don't know about you, you know, but my reality is open. You know, not like nobody else outside of myself shaping for my reality. And I think now, I mean, it's been the 21st century for some time now,
mm-hmm.
and the future is now. You see what I'm saying? And so as a people, you know, we have to knock those four walls down, you know, that our mind's been in and start shaping and forming our own reality.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, the time is now to start building. Well, everything is already gentrifying.
It is.
So we're already putting tons of money and rebuilding and restructuring everything.
Right.
It's not going to be hard to implement a different way to sustain life.
Well, I can speak from the experience of running a nonprofit radio station in a market that is corporate driven, and how we go pillar to post for 46 years. I can speak from that perspective from working in the nonprofit realm and trying to deal with a corporate soaked mindset of consumers who generally are so entrenched in that model, it's hard to get that pattern broken. So that's where I'm coming from, okay?
Yes, ma'am. And I've been founder of a nonprofit for the past 11 years.
So you know what I'm saying.
I just want to say that these corporations, it is what it is. And I just want to say this, as long as the people keep turning a blind eye, to these corporations and everything, and not taking their rightful place as far as ownership goes, and as far as just entrepreneurship goes, then you can bet on things getting a whole lot worse. And that's why I'm running for mayor, just to put this, just to speak on this vision and this change that needs to take place. But the people have a choice. Everybody have a choice. And everybody have to choose, and so it's the people's choice, you can't continue to let the corporations just have their will with you.
And Nolan, let me say in the closing, that's why I got you on here. I'm talking to all 10 of the candidates, not just ones at the top, because they got the most money. Did you hear me? Okay, I'm going across. That's why you here on this air now.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Because
I believe in sustainability as well, in my own way. So, I did read some of your information on your website, and I do know that you have that agriculture background. So I do know that there's some things about what you were discussing in terms of the food deserts and et cetera, that is very important to the community. And I hope whatever happens in this race, that you continue to stay focused on that, because that's the wave of the future.
Yes, ma'am, I will.
Now, let me, on my final 45 seconds with you, tell our audience, why should they vote for Nolan Starnes for mayor of Nashville?
Well, like I say, I'm a native. I'm born and raised here. I represent the common people. I'm a common man. And, I'm a pioneer. I'm a frontiersman. And we need to, pioneer a whole new frontier. We need to change the dynamics of how we're living. I know it may look impossible, but it's really not. It's really as simple as, changing your mind. It's just that stuff. I'm an honest man. I'm an entrepreneur. I have my own business. That's why I'm not able to, visit you on campus right now. That's why I had to call in, because, I'm having to work on my truck and get my truck back rolling. So that I can keep my business thriving. So, I can operate a budget. Yeah. And, I'm in the best interest of the people, of the city.
Okay. Now, that's why you're here, because we wanted to, make sure that you did not get excluded. Now, what is the best way how to find out more? You got a website, I think, right?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. It's NolanStarnesForMayor.com. Okay. NolanStarnesForMayor.com.
Spell your last name.
And S-T-A-R... N-E-S. That's
excellent.
My last name.
Okay.
First name, Nolan, N-O-L-A-N.
Got it. Nolan, Nolan Starnes from there. We wish you the very best. I thank you so much for your time today, because I know you have many things that you're involved in and you carved a sin. So thank you very much, and good luck to you.
Yes, ma'am. And real quick, I want to give everyone my web address to the All-In All-Stars Youth Mentoring Program. It is All In, All Stars with a Z, 360.com.
Okay.
Check that out as well.
Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you later. Thank you. Bye bye.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And that was number 8. That was 8. Two more. Next week, X.
Not bad.
The last two. I don't know.
You save the best for last.
I don't say the best.
So to speak.
I say the last two is coming.
The last two is coming. I probably shouldn't have said that.
Well,
other candidates are listening going, no, he didn't.
See,
I'm the best.
I'm not falling in that one. I'm just saying off the air comments are not heard on the air. So anyway, in saying that, there's two more to go, and that's next Wednesday. And that is Carol Swain and the current mayor, David Brawley. That's the last two, and then we are done with that.
And it's time to go vote.
Oh, no question.
If they haven't already.
Well, you know, the earlies, when they do the earlies, when they open up all the locations.
Mm-hmm. That's where I go.
This weekend?
Yes.
I'm going. Yeah, me
too. Don't have time for shenanigans.
And I don't have time to drive around trying to find a parking spot.
You don't have that new Tennessee ID with the star on the side?
Right.
So you can't. What? Anybody tell me?
I'm sorry, a star. What you say? What
did you say? A little verification star on the side.
I know. I'm just saying, I'm not a star. Anyway, all righty, IT Nashville. That's all we have for you tonight. You will have the very best of the best. And don't forget, who loves you?
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.